Good morning. This is a surreal moment for us. We're very excited to be with you this morning. It's been a few weeks. Just praising God for the work that he's done in our lives and in the lives of Woodland Church. So we're very happy to be with you. For those who did not get a chance to meet us when we were here for our candidate week, I'm Brandon Cross. I'm your new lead pastor. So my beautiful wife Julianne's in the front row over here. And we are excited to be with you today. Our two little ones are back in the kids' room, so we're excited to be with you this morning. Is it on the screen? There it is. So a few weeks ago, this is the last time you saw us. It was a very powerful moment for our family, and as you can tell, our son had enough. The question we got from family and friends on Facebook was, "Oh, is August slain in the spirit?" I said, "No, he's four," and his exact words were, "Too many words, I'm done." And he just laid flat. He wanted nothing to do with sit with Jamie Halavid in the front row. He wanted nothing to do with any of the prayer time. He was just done. But if that's not indicative of having a four-year-old, I don't know what is. But I will say God has been at work in our family just preparing for this day, and we're so grateful for all of you. So grateful for the prayers. Grateful for the prayers and encouragement of the Clantons both. Pastor, I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but grateful for you being here today. He's just been a great encouragement to me and Becky with Julianne as well. So we're excited to be here and just want to let you know that we love you folks and we're excited to start this journey with you this morning. We'll stop there because otherwise I'll just keep going and ad-libbing for the rest of the day. These type of services and these type of transitions are full of lots of emotions for everybody, and I want to be mindful of that. And I just want to tell you, whatever emotions that we're going through collectively, it's normal. When you have such a strong foundation that have been built here, there tends to be some emotions. And so we want you to know we're here to walk through those with you because we have them too. Our family's undergoing a transition along with you, so we're excited about this part of our journey together. When I was meeting with the board in preparation for candidating, I was talking to Hines, and he had asked me about a sermon that he had seen listed that I had shared at Freedom Christian, and it was called Windshield or Rearview Mirror. And it's the text of Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. And basically, I'm going to paraphrase it. Forget the former things. I will do a new thing. I will make a road in the wilderness, streams in the desert. And it's about the panoramic view of our windshield. That's our forward directory. But the rear view mirror and the side mirrors are for having an appropriate understanding and appreciation of where we've come. And that's really what I want us to kind of set our hearts on today, that when we turn the page to in a transition of leadership, whether it's in the corporate world or especially in the church, it is in no way, shape, or form forgetting what's behind us. When you read that word forget in the Bible in Isaiah, it actually means to not dwell on and not set your direction on what's behind. Set your direction forward, but it doesn't happen without the stuff that's in the rear view mirror. And whatever happens going forward for our church, it doesn't happen without the faithful and loving service of Dennis and Becky Clanton and their family. And so today, as we turn the page and start a new chapter, we do it with a full appreciation and love for the foundation that's been built here. And I'm grateful for the two of you and your family for what you've established here. I wanted to just give you a quick, I guess, expectation for the next few months. As we start this journey together and get to know one another, I want you to understand that these first 2 weeks, we're just going to talk about where we're at and what's to come. And then we'll move into understanding who the true head of the church is, who the shepherd is. We're going to talk about Jesus and his role in guiding us as a congregation. And lastly, we're going to talk about our shared calling and purpose as a church. You heard what I shared the first 2 weeks we were here with the candidate week. I just want you to know, you heard my heart, and our heart is that we reflect what God has done in our lives to the people we interact with every day. And as a church, we're going to discover what he's done in our lives. And that's the whole purpose of the first few months, is just to get to know each other and get to know what God has in store for us as a congregation. So are you with me so far? Yes. Everybody okay with that? Yes. All right, then we'll do that. Sounds like a plan. I want you to know that our primary focus as a family, the Cross family, is to get to know you and establish relationships. We want to spend as much time with you as we can, get to know you in the lobby, get to know you coffee shops, restaurants, wherever, but we want to get to know you, and that's going to be our focus as we move forward, and we want you to know that we want to share in your lives and share in life together, and that's really what the body of Christ is all about. So that's what you get from us, the good, bad, and the ugly, and a four-year-old Bam Bam and a little evangelist sister. So we'll have some fun. I do want to just kind of set expectations today. At the end of service, what I'd like us to do is gather together those who can here at the altar in just a time of corporate prayer and just praying about our future together and the future of what we will do collectively in this community. So if you're good with that, we're going to do it anyway, but I just, if you're good with coming down, we want you to participate in that. So today we're going to talk about turning the page. My daughter, Summer, she is 9 years old and is an avid reader, and she has a collection of books that she's read, I don't know how many times now, she has 4 or 5 of them. It's called the Heartwood Hotel. It's a cute little story about a group of animals that have a hotel, and she's always thrilled with doing this and seeing what comes next. And even if we've read it to her, she's read it 50 times, there's always this look of, ooh, I can't wait to see what happens next, even though she knows it. And so today we're going to talk about turning the page. We know what the word says, but we're going to focus on putting it in our hearts so we can live it out. Would you stand with me today, those who are able to? And we're going to read from Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to read about Joshua picking up the mantle or the staff of Moses and moving on as the new leader of the Israelites out of the New Living Translation. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one, repeat that, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we just come before you, and we just humbly submit our hearts to you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would just reveal your truth into our hearts this morning, God, as we share it from the word today, Lord, that your word would come alive to us. God, that the word shared today would be directed from you, not from me. That, God, each of us would be challenged, encouraged, and directed today, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for your wonderful word, which gives life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Go ahead and be seated this morning. I'm excited to be able to share this. This is something that, this passage has been on my heart for a while, and I had just a barrage of text messages yesterday, even this morning. That's why I told my wife, put my phone away. I don't want buzzing while I'm talking this morning. But I have a former coworker who's a believer that knew that today was our first day as your pastors, and he just randomly reached out last night and said, "Brandon, you're going to do great tomorrow. I'm so proud of the direction you've taken, and I just want you to hang on to this verse." And he quoted Joshua 1:9. And I just went, "That's interesting, Sam. Thank you. I'm preaching on that tomorrow morning." And he was, "Oh, it just gave me chills." And I've had a few friends do that this week where they just, God gave them a word, even a couple unbelievers, that was in due season and just encouraged me the day of or the day before stuff that was going on. So I believe he's got a word for us this morning, and I want to share that with you. So what we just read is the commissioning of Joshua by God, taking up the leadership role that Moses had left behind. Moses had died, And this was at the end of the mourning period for Moses. And this passage takes place right after that, and it establishes a major shift from the leadership of Moses to the leadership of Joshua. It's a transition in the history of the Israelites. They're going from forming an identity into taking and capturing and possessing the promise that God had given them. We look at Moses, and his role was to help them. He helped free them through God's miraculous power. But Moses was the one that got them freed from Egypt. God freed them, but you get my drift. He was the leader that brought them out of a bondage and into the formation of them as a people. And then we see, as we read through the Pentateuch, we see Moses' style of relating to people. It's very personal. He was heavily involved in their person and communal. He acted as their shepherd, their counselor. And we could tell that he had a little much at times by some of the things that he had. Lord, what have you done with these people, given them to me? Just kill me now. It's in Numbers 11. You could tell that he was just overdone at times, and then again, learning how to delegate and minister in an appropriate way. But he had a certain role that he took on. He was highly relational, but often strained by the pressure of what was going on. They were forming their identity. Then we have Joshua. Joshua, as we'll read further in the Bible, Joshua comes on and takes what's already formed and moves them into the season of possessing what God has promised them. He was more of a tactical leader. If you read through the books of Joshua and much of the Old Testament before Judges, we see that Joshua is more tactical and less relational, still highly respected, but he was a different type of leader. He had a different calling and direction than what Moses had from the Lord. We see that Joshua's followers are very unified. They were together in one accord. We read that in the New Testament, and I think it's 11 times in the book of Acts, if not more. It's right around that. But we see the phrase, one accord. They were unified in where they were headed. We see that with his followers, and they were motivated by a task, the promise that God had given them. So my point today in sharing that little snippet is that leadership has seasons. And Woodland has just come out of a season with a great leader and pastor, and we're grateful for him and Becky. We are heading into a new season collectively as a church, and God has even greater things ahead of us. We don't know what they are yet. We're going to find them out together through the foundation that's been built here. Each season of leadership has a specific purpose and directive from the Lord. It's according to the specific giftings of the leaders God has placed in our lives, to the specific needs of the people as God sees, and the specific needs of the kingdom that he needs us to fulfill. It's a beautiful thing when you read through Scripture how God orchestrates the different leaders that get put in place for his purposes. And today is day one of this season, and we're thrilled and grateful and humbled to be a part of it with you. So today I want us to understand our main idea today is that God has already planned this new season for Woodland Church. We need to trust his guidance, trust in his presence, and I want us to grasp this, to confidently move forward together. One accord. It is 11 times. I got my notes. It's 11 times in the book of Acts. We move together in unity. It doesn't mean we're unanimous about everything, but it does mean that we have the kingdom principles and the kingdom plan as our marker, what we're all marching towards. And I'm so excited to see what God does with it so that we can better represent him in this community and beyond. Are you with me so far? I haven't seen anybody run for the exits yet, so that's a good thing. So the first thing I want us to keep in mind as we read through the passage that I just read, if you look at verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. God has appointed each of us, not just leaders, but each of us, to this church to fulfill a specific purpose for this season. Even if we've been here in previous seasons, this season we are here intentionally. Together we will march forward figuring out what that looks like. But he has ordained for all of us to be here. God called Julianne and I and our kids to come minister with you here at this church and in this community. Each of us here has our own responsibility of using what God has gifted each of us individually with. Talents, our heart, our burdens, the relationships we already have in the community. He has challenged each of us to use that to represent him to those around us. We are to fulfill God's mission for the church, which Jesus said in Matthew 28:19. If you know it, say it with me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the ultimate mission of the church. And we are each a part of that. This passage served as Joshua's and Israel's marching orders to cross and possess the promise that God had given them. They were to seize what he had already prepared for them. They had to move in faith. They had to move in obedience. They had to move in unity. They had to trust. Anyone here have a hard time trusting when you don't know what the outcome is? I'll put both hands up for me. We just had that conversation in the car on the way here. Summer's like, Daddy, have they made a time machine yet? And me with my conspiracy theorist mind, I'm like, I'm sure the government has one. They're just not telling us. Or I'm sure they're working on it. It's not the Marty McFly type, but they're working on something. And she was like, well, I want to know what my future is. I want to know what it's going to look like. I said, don't we all, honey? I don't. The older I get, the more things hurt. But it's a trust thing. We want to be able to trust what's happening, and that's a hard thing to do at times. The point is, God has appointed each of us for this specific season. We need to embrace this next season as God's plan for all of us. As believers, take off the role of pastor, leader, teacher, whatever, in any of our roles here in the church. As believers, we need to trust in his guidance and what he has planned for us as a body. I don't know if you noticed, there seems to be just this current of things happening in our country and in the world that people need Christ more than ever before. I truly believe that. And there's just a current of people, their interest is being piqued, their hearts are being challenged, and they're seeking things that just don't fill them and don't fit and don't build them up, and they're seeking something. And this has been true for ages, but it just seems like there's a current of it now that just, we have to have urgency to what we do and how we live our lives day to day. So what does that look like? God's calling us to use this to fulfill the mission of the church and capital C Church and making disciples. In short, we need to take action whenever we can, wherever we can. So what does that look like? Could be serving in kids ministry. It could be welcoming people for the first time as they come in and giving them the white glove treatment to let them know we're glad they're here. And that is true. We want to make sure that people, when they walk through our doors, that we love them and we are glad they're here. And if it's the only time they ever set foot here, great. We still want to love them and let them know that Christ died for them and he loves them. Maybe it's doing that. Maybe it's about intentionally forming, connecting relationships within the church body together. Finding ways to grow stronger ties with those that we worship with all the time. Be involved in sharing lives together. Showing up at each other's kids' soccer games and robot competitions and just sharing life when things are not going well, when someone's hurt, someone's sick, we're just there. And not saying we're not doing that, but that needs to be even deeper. As we grow and as the world gets crazier, we need each other more than ever before. The body of Christ continues to grow and develop closer ties. Maybe that's what it looks like. How about discovering needs in the community? Purposely going out and establishing relationships with people we don't know and finding out what they're struggling with, and finding ways that we as a church, Woodland, can go into the community and meet those practical needs. If we read through the Gospels, what do we see with Jesus? Yeah, he preached. He shared the word. He shared his divinity. But there's just story after story after story of him meeting people where they're at, finding out where they were hurting, touching that hurt first, and finding out how he could love them closer to himself. Maybe that's what that looks like. Discovering needs. And I challenge you, all of us, find out where needs are in our community. Bring those ideas to us. Let's see how we can love on our community more deeply. Build upon what we've already done as a group. Bring those ideas. We might not do them all. We might not be able to. But you know what? We're going to dream together. We're going to find ways to continue to take what's been built here and further the kingdom in this community. Are you good with me? Not with me, with that. I don't need you to be good with me. I need you to be good with that. So the next thing I want us to understand is, as we read this passage, applying it to us, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. I'm going to throw in already. I have already given you. He describes, no matter where you go, I've already set that aside for you. I will guide you where I've already set things aside for you. I have a plan. God's already mapped out our new season as a church, folks. He knows the people that we will minister to, that we need to show the love of Christ to, that we need to model what living in the kingdom looks like to. He knows who they are. He's already mapped that out. We just have to be obedient and trust the Holy Spirit to guide us to those folks and take risks and go after them and love them in a way that they've never been loved before. Show them the truth about repentance and sin and how it's been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. How we live out our lives daily and how we love on people and treat them, we show them that. God's already mapped out this next season. I have a cousin of mine who's a little bit younger. He's more like my nephew. Our kids went to high school with him, and he would talk to me about just life and making plans. He's like, I don't know if it's going to work, and I don't know what to do, and I feel kind of stuck. And this is, you know, different phases of his life as a teenager and even as a young adult. And I would always tell him, see that lawn tractor there? One, it smokes. Don't get in front of it when I start it. But two, you get on it and try and turn that steering wheel. Those of us who are old enough to have grown up with manual steering, you know this, where I'm going with this. You turn that steering wheel when the car is not in motion, what happens? It's a fight. The rubber meets the road, and it is friction, and it is hard to turn. But if you take that car or that lawn tractor and you roll it down the driveway, just make sure you know where the brake is first. You roll it down the driveway, roll it down the road, amazing, you can actually steer it. Being in motion, it's easier to be redirected. But if we never get in motion, it's a fight to get us moving. God's already mapped out our season. We need to move forward in obedience and faith, understanding he's got something special for us going forward. We find ways to serve in the community. We reach out in faith. Individually, we reach out to those maybe we haven't reached out to before. Maybe we have a difficult neighbor. Anyone ever have one of those? Don't raise your hands, because if they're listening, we don't want them to know. We have difficult relationships. We still reach out in love and in faith, believing that God's going to break through and touch their lives, even if we never see it. I want to challenge us this morning to understand that God has given us the ground that he intends for us to take. We move in obedience. We find ways to serve. What's interesting is his promises to Israel here required commitment and obedience to his word. That promise that he's referring to Moses is actually from Deuteronomy chapter 11. It says, be careful to obey all these commands I have given you. Show love to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and holding tightly to him. Then the Lord will drive out the nations ahead of you. We skip down a verse, and this is where the promise to Moses is shared. Wherever you set your foot, the land will be yours. And he gives the boundaries of where that is, identical to what is proclaimed to Joshua. And in Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 through 28, it says, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You'll be blessed if you obey my commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. But you'll be cursed if you reject the commands of your Lord and will turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. The bottom line is that the promises that we have ahead of us for where God is taking us are tied to us understanding his word, understanding what he expects from us and obeying his word, and trusting the Holy Spirit and him to guide us forward. We have a responsibility to trust him, to obey his word, and to go to those in our community to reach them. This involves being heavily invested in one another. I shared when we were here last that the Acts 2, 42 through 47, that when the community around the early church saw the connectedness the unity, the selflessness, the generosity, just the kingdom being lived out in front of them with a band of misfits that somehow managed to be unified and in one accord. When the community saw that, what did it say? They had favor with all the people. And daily the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. That's what this is, folks. If we can trust and obey his word and go to those in our community, we invest heavily in one another and invest heavily of our time, our energy, our love, our patience. Who needs more of that? I'll put both hands up. I have a 4-year-old. Heinz is waving at me and he's going to hurt his shoulder. If we can do that, serve one another in the community, we're walking in obedience to what God has for us. What I love in this passage is the reassurance that God gives Joshua. If you notice in verse 5, what does he say? No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, and I love this line too, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. It makes me think of our kids. We have one that if they want a late snack, it's, I need someone down here with me. All lights in the house can be on, but someone's got to be in the kitchen. Can you be with me? We have another one that just says, leave me alone, I got this. But there's something about the presence of mom or dad with a little one. Just being in the room. Now, our 4-year-old, he will go downstairs and play very independently. Sometimes I have to make sure there aren't massive chunks coming off the wall, but he likes to play and play rough sometimes. And he will just say, I need you down here. And we just, all I have to do is go sit on the couch with a coffee, and he's just perfectly content. He doesn't need me to do anything. He doesn't need me to monitor what he's doing. He just wants my presence or mommy's presence so he can just move forward and comfortably in what he's doing. God will be with us as we navigate the next season. He promised Israel his presence. And as we look for his presence, as we submit to his word, as we move forward in obedience with a heart that's submitted to him, his presence is with us. And his presence is all we need to be confident that we are moving forward. He tells Joshua that. There's a movie that it really hits me hard. It's called Frequency. It's with Dennis Quaid, Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ. And it's about, I never do short stories. So long story short, it's not true with me. But it's about a police detective who somehow finds his dad's old ham radio during the Northern Lights phenomena, solar flares, whatever they are. And he's somehow able to communicate with his father back in 1969 or 68, whatever it was. Whatever year the Mets were amazing. Thank you. So he's able to somehow communicate with his father who died when he was a young boy. And they start this back and forth through the movie and basically end up changing history. It's kind of like a more intense Back to the Future. The reason I bring that up, there's a scene where Dennis Quaid's character, he was the dad in the story, had listened to his son's instructions and didn't die the way he had previously died in the movie. And so the first thing he does is run home, and he spends time with his son while his wife was working nights at a hospital as a nurse. And he's teaching his son to ride his bike, something he hadn't been able to do before because, you know, the storyline, he had passed. But there's a part where he's teaching his son to ride the bike, and the little guy falls off his bike. And he jumps up and starts crying and starts running to the house. And actually, the mom was home because he's like, oh, come on, Chief, don't bail on me now. And the mom just comes out and says, Frank, he just needs to know you're there, that you're with him. And later in the movie is a replay of this where he just encouraged him and stayed with him, kept his hand on the bike a little longer, and the kid just starts riding off. I did it, Daddy, I did it. He just needed to know his dad was with them and had not let go. That's what we have here, folks. God's saying, hey, I'll be with you wherever you go, Joshua. You don't have to be afraid. I'm with you. Move forward. And that's what he's telling us. He's telling us to be courageous if we apply it to ourselves in this new season. Courageous does not mean the absence of fear or the absence of uncertainty or the absence of just, oh no, what's next, right? When we don't know what's coming around the corner, will this work? Will this attempt to reach the community work? It may or may not. Courageous doesn't mean the absence of that. Instead, it means a faith-driven resolve. We know that God is for us. We know that he has called us to this season to move forward and to share the gospel of Christ to whomever and wherever and whenever we can in one way, shape, or form. That's what he's called us all to. We can move forward confidently knowing that he's with us. We are commanded to rely entirely on his promised presence rather than our natural abilities, our own resolve, our own stubbornness, I'm talking about myself, just our own abilities. We move forward fixated in faith that he has us. His vision for Woodland will be fulfilled regardless of what obstacles we face, whether it's people, finances, outside opposition, whether it's just political climate, whatever the case may be. His word never returns void. God is not thwarted. We can move forward. We're specifically called to lead today. And I want to encourage us today, as we plot our course ahead as a church, as a leadership team, as a body of believers, we can have confidence because he is with us. As we pray, as we seek him, as we focus on his word that he's given us, as we submit to the Holy Spirit and we serve boldly, I want to just drive that home. That's something that was hammered into my heart growing up as a young believer, as a young man, when I came to Christ. My youth pastor and the pastors I served under, they just hammered home, serve boldly. Do not be afraid to swing and miss. Serve boldly. As we do that, he's with us. We are to trust in his word and follow his guidance. I was in robotics for a while, and we have autonomous robots. They navigate on what the natural features they pick up around a room, kind of like a glorified Roomba vacuum. They map out the room. They understand where all the walls and chair legs and sofa legs and all the different natural features of the room are. And then they have, in the case of the autonomous robots, they have what's called a docking station where they would pull up and drop off material to the assembly line. Well, in order to do that, they would have to map it out, make sure they have clearance, and kind of take their way in. What we would do is put a digital spot on the map. It didn't exist on the floor, but it's a digital marker, and we call that a waypoint. That waypoint allowed those robots to more quickly identify where they were at and how they could dock quicker. They had a reference point to work off of. God's word is our reference point. It's our waypoint. We can quickly identify what we're doing, whether or not it aligns with his will or if it's acceptable to him by his word. That requires us to read it for understanding, to pray about it, to meditate on it, and just to allow his word to just live in us daily and apply it to our daily situations. That's our waypoint. We trust his word, we obey his guidance. In verse 7 and 8, it says, I found this interesting, being strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or left. Then, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. The fulfillment of his mission is success. Reaching people, this community, seeing lives continue to be changed by Jesus Christ. That's the success we're after. Not, hey, I happen to get X amount of people in a sanctuary on a Sunday. That's not success. Success is lives transformed, lives changed, people's eternal destinies being rewritten because they submitted to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's success. I like that word very. If you notice before, it said be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. How many know when you have a young child and you finally say, you know what? Now I'm very mad. We add the very. I said, you know what? When you add a exclamatory, I'm not a grammar person, something in front of the verb. Thank you. You should know that. We homeschool. I'm the principal. She's the teacher. The kids are smart. But we add something to it, that very courageous, that adverb, thank you. It adds emphasis. It adds, hey, this is very important. I find it interesting that of this whole passage, it says right before, be careful to obey the instructions he's given us. The bottom line is, his word is our baseline. His word is the measuring stick by which we do everything. He's calling us to be very courageous. This climate we live in is very difficult. Excuse me. This climate we live in is very difficult, and there's so many pressures, especially for our young people. The things that these young folks have to deal with is so much just more exhausting to even think about from the era I grew up in. I always joked, I'm so glad that that my generations and one before us did not have smartphones. I joked before, I would still be in jail. There's no proof for the stuff, nonsense that I pulled. I'm grateful for that. The pressures that people face today are so much more, I'll just call it crazy. We need to have a unshakable, uncommon commitment to adhere to God's word as believers. With kindness and love, the truth and love, we need to have an unshakable commitment to his word. We must also have people in our lives to help mentor us and guide us, hold us accountable. You know, that word accountable or accountability has become such a dirty word in the church and in life in general. People don't want to be accountable. It makes it sound like you're being micromanaged. If we don't have accountability, we see what people, you know, who grew up having to read, was it Steinbeck, Lord of the Flies? That is a complete statement on what happens when there's no accountability. Human nature, fallen nature, can get pretty ugly. We need accountability. It's a good thing. I am grateful that I have men and women in my life that hold me accountable. My friend Doug, who was here when we were voted in, Doug was like I call him my Yeti. He's like 6'5", 6'6". He's got hands twice the size of mine. Doug, if you're watching, sorry, buddy, too bad. It's an inside thing with him and I. But I can call Doug any day of the week and talk to him and ask him how he's doing, and he will flip it on me and say, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? And he can sense when something's off, and he will call me on it. And I need that in my life. We all do. Accountability, as we hold each other accountable, it helps us stay between the ditches, as my friend Jeff likes to say. Just keep them between the ditches. Stay out of the ditches, stay on the road. I have friends that will hold me and keep me between the ditches. We have to have people in our lives. I have my friend Doug, my friend Jeff, Cal. John Opaluski is a friend of mine that mentors pastors and has a Converge coaching. He's just an amazing guy. He and I talked before our transition out of secular work, and he's just a wise man. Pastor Aaron Halavin, his dad Jeff. There are men that have been in my life for many, many years that have periodically, some are more day-to-day involved in my life, but some are just periodically will check in. My cousin, who's like my growing up, I thought he was my uncle because my mom's the youngest of 12. His mom was one of the oldest. But I have people in my family that watch over me and check in on me and make sure I'm keeping it between the ditches. I'm keeping my life in line with what God has called me to. That's all of us. When we trust his word, we obey his guidance, we allow ourselves to be challenged by the Holy Spirit, we allow ourselves to be guided by the Holy Spirit, and then we surround ourselves intentionally with people who can help us grow and keep us accountable, we see God moving on our behalf, and we see our ability to impact the people that we meet. As we move into this new season, I want us collectively to embrace that as much as we had before, and if not even more. That's where he calls us. We need to be intentional and disciplined, not only about reading his word and understanding it, but speaking it into the situations we meet in a day-to-day life. Set time aside. This is something that over the last several months I've really been much more disciplined at, just setting aside a time to read, journal, and pray. It doesn't have to be long, but that's my time when the kids can be running around doing whatever. I'm doing that. I developed the practice of journaling. I write down prayers that I want to see God fulfill in my life. I develop a short list of friends that I can reach out to and love on and encourage on a day-to-day basis. When we trust his word and obey his guidance, we speak the word, We meditate on it. We obey it. When we meditate, it's not sitting in the corner. It's reflecting on it. It's pondering, what does this mean to me? How can I apply that today? Who can I bless with what God has just shared with me? My friend Sam shared that with me last night, and it was such an encouragement. That's what I'm preaching on, Sam. Thank you. I needed that. When we meditate on his word, we stay between the ditches. The last thing you'll notice in this passage is verse 9. Move forward in confidence. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua, you do not have to be afraid. You don't have to worry about being Moses. You are you. He is him. You guys each have a specific purpose I've called you to. You move forward in what I've promised. This is your job. Move these people across the Jordan. Pick up the promise that I have given them. Claim it. Seize it. It's yours. Go get it. By the way, there'll be battles. Don't worry about it. I've got that taken care of. He's telling Joshua, move. I've got you. No matter where you go, I will be with you. I have already given that land to you. We are commanded to have resolve and to move forward knowing that he will enable us. Doesn't that free you up some? It does for me. When I got that text message from a friend of mine last night who had no clue what I was speaking about, I was like, all right, I'll stop sweating it and just do it. If people run for the exits, so be it. I am me, and that's just something we got to deal with. And I'm okay with that. God has called us each to move forward in confidence. There's a series that I absolutely just love. It's Band of Brothers. My children's great-grandfather was actually in Normandy post-invasion. He was part of the occupying force in Normandy, and my daughter was able to go to Normandy and see the German turrets and bunkers and that. It was really powerful, but my former father-in-law had that series, and I just fell in love with it. And there's just so many good stories in it about that generation and that group of men. There's one particular storyline about a Private Blythe, Albert Blythe. And Albert Blythe had what they called hysterical blindness. The trauma of all the stuff going around him caused him to be temporarily blind and not be able to see. And then at one point, his leader, a lieutenant, gives him a talking to, and suddenly the trauma stops, and he goes and rejoins his unit. They're in a battle with German forces, and he's in the foxhole, and things are blowing up, and they just show him. It's really dramatic. The stuff's blowing up. He's holding his rifle and just sobbing, petrified. I got news for you. That would be me. I'm not a tough guy. I may try and act like one, but the truth is I'm not. But that would be me. I don't know what I would do in that situation, but my guess is probably more like that rather than doing a Rambo. So Albert Blythe is in this foxhole. Things are blowing up around him. It looks like chaos. It looks like he and his leader is there. Come on, Blythe, you got this. And he's just yelling at him, get up, Blythe, get in the fight. We need you. You protect your... And he's just in his ear, and suddenly it snaps. He jumps up and just starts firing and starts defending his men. There's a movie with Mel Gibson. It's called We Were Soldiers. It talks about the air cavalry in Vietnam. And Hal Morris is the colonel that it was based off of. And he had this statement. In the paratroopers and in our air cav, the officer is the first one off the helicopter and the last one off the battlefield. They are leading ahead, and they're going after it. That's the strong and courageous. That's what God is saying. Go ahead. Get out. Move. Do not be afraid. You set the pace for the community. Set the pace for those in our congregation. Go out. Move ahead. Be faithful. Take risks. Don't be afraid to fail. Go and share people. Share with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can clap. That was good. I know I said this when we were here as candidates. Feel free to shout out, correct me, whatever you got to do. Just be engaged, because at some point I'll be asking for participation anyway. And if you make eye contact with me, I shared this in the staff this week. If you make eye contact in a meeting, I'm just calling on you first. Right, Corey? Right, Ben? We are here together. We are here to do this, and I'm just grateful for you. I just, moment of levity, why not? No circumstances are too daunting for God. No matter what we face, nothing's too daunting for him. He's proved that throughout history. We can look at challenges we may have, whatever they are. Financial, again, you know, the political climate we live in, the society, challenges that we'll face in people understanding what the gospel is truly about. We're going to face challenges, and that's okay. Nothing's too daunting for God. How do we apply this? I'm glad you asked that question. We need to understand some of the attempts that we will make over the next several years are going to fall flat. People may not respond the way we hope to. We may do things that people just don't get. We may just misread a situation and think we've identified a need, and we may get no one showing up. That's going to be okay. There's going to be times when this isn't going to work, and whoa, what just happened? We're not prepared for this. We need to be okay with making some attempts and not worrying about not getting the response we hope for. We can't be discouraged. We need to be encouraged by that. What did Thomas Edison say? I have not failed. I found 10,000 ways it didn't work. I'm looking for the way that works. That's my approach, because I've done enough failing in my life. I'm okay with swinging and missing. If you play baseball at any point in life, you're going to swing and miss. And that's okay. Occasionally you make contact, and sometimes it's a glorious click. It's over the fence. We're going to keep swinging. So today I just wanted to give a message of encouragement. This wasn't a real deep dive, but this is more about God's already planned this season for us. This next season is his. He's already planned this. We need to trust his guidance, trust his presence, and I'll say it again, confidently move forward in what he has for us as a church. We move forward together in one accord. We know that the ultimate mission that we have is to make disciples so that more and more people become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. We do that through relationship. We do that through taking risks. We do that outside the four walls of this church as often as possible. We do that by being faithful and building our faith up, building our lives so it reflects a kingdom way of living versus the worldly way of living, and there's a noticeable difference. When folks see the difference that Christ makes in our lives, it draws attention. I want to encourage us today. Interestingly, in Joshua, further down in verse 16 through 18, Joshua had just given the command, we are going. God has said we're going. We're crossing the Jordan River. Now it's time to move out. He says, so they answered Joshua, and they said, all you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God will be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels with your command does not heed your words, and all that you command him will be put to death. And I want this last sentence to be the one we take. Only be strong and of good courage. God had been saying that to Joshua. Joshua responded in obedience. He gave the command to move forward, and the people in unison told him, be strong and courageous, Joshua, we're with you. We're in this together. And folks, we are in this together. This next season, we navigate. There's going to be things I say and do that probably you're going to do the Labrador and go, huh? I don't understand what that was all about. I may do things and say things that may not sit well. That's part of learning how we operate together. That's part of navigating, developing a relationship. I want you to know, as long as we're moving forward together with Christ as our guide and Christ as our focal point and his kingdom as our marker, as our waypoint, we move forward in unity, good things happen. The people that Joshua was leading let him know they were with him. He let them know he was obeying God. God has appointed each of us for this specific season. He's already mapped out our next season, folks. I'm excited about that. I don't know about you, but I get a little nervous when I have to make a plan, especially with the weight of it when there's people relying on me. But when I know that God's got my back, it makes things a lot different. It makes things a lot easier because I'm submitting to him and he's guiding us. He is with us, and he will be with us as we navigate forward. We trust his word. we obey his guidance. And lastly, again, we move forward in confidence together. Are we together on that? So I just have three items for growth work or call to action this week. I want you to really be praying about these. The first one is to pray about how each of us can contribute to moving the mission of this church, his church, forward. Through serving in a ministry, serving in the community, unique to each of our own gifts. Take time to reflect on how has God uniquely positioned me to bless the lives of other people in my community, in my family, in my circle, in my neighborhood, etc. Pray about those things. What passions do I have that I could use to bless the lives of somebody else? Name some things that would hold you back. Name some things that will hold us back. This is to me too. Name some things that could be potential obstacles for us in moving his mission forward. What are some hang-ups that I have? What are some fears that I have? What are some insecurities that I have? What are the logistics things that just tend to block me? Let's name those and start putting prayer to those. And lastly, pray about something each of us would like to try or like our church, our congregation to try in order to reach our community. Ask God for a vision. It's amazing what happens when we ask and then listen. My wife will tell you, I do a much better job of talking than I do listening. My 4-year-old will most definitely tell you that I do a much better job of talking than listening. He actually holds his hands up, says, too many words, stop. But let's pray about the things that we want. Let's dream. Doesn't mean we do everything, but let's dream together about what we can do collectively as a congregation to bless the lives of the community around us. Ask for vision. Ask him to give direction. Ask to put a burden in our hearts for people, specific people. Could be one. Could be 100. Let's ask for that burden, and then we find ways to reach that burden with Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody to stand, if you would. And I had mentioned at the outset that what I'd like to do today is a little different, probably, than what we've been typically doing. But I would like us, those who are able and comfortable to just kind of gather around the altar down here and stand together. We're going to just spend some time corporately just to pray for that thing, for unity, for direction, for God's favor, for just the next season of our church. So those who are able, please come on up and join us. I'll lead us in prayer. We're just going to take a few moments, those who are able to, and we're going to pray together, and we're just going to thank God for what he has already promised us and what he's already given us. Hallelujah. If you would, folks, just with me, let's raise our hands to the Lord. We're submitting this to him. Father, we come before you this morning, and we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name for the honor and privilege of being in your house together and being your people, Lord, with the mission to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, to reach others with your message, with your love, with your power. God, we pray as a people, as your church, Lord, that you would just empower us and enable us to reach others with the saving message of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would just help us, Lord, to just continually submit to your will, submit to your spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in each of us. We pray for just divine appointments, that each of us has the opportunity to meet people in their place of need at the exact time they need us. Lord, we pray for the opportunity to continue to grow in your word, to grow in relationship with you, and to be given more and more opportunities to reflect you to other people. God, help us to be a people who repent daily, to be a people who submit our lives to you in an act of surrender so that you can just do greater work in each of us, that, Lord, we would be more reflective of you to the world outside. God, I pray for unity. I pray for fears to be overcome. I pray for addictions in this community to be overcome by the power of your blood, by the power of your spirit. God, I pray for those who are just downtrodden, those who are anxious, that God, they would find hope through the love and hope that we share on a day-to-day basis. Help us, Lord, to be together in unity as we move forward. In one accord, God, we submit Woodland Church and its future to you, Lord. This is your church. Guide us, use us, direct us, protect us, correct us. And move, even in spite of us at times, Lord. Father, we humbly just thank you and praise you for the foundation that has been laid, for the work that has been done and is being done, God. We know that your work in us is just begun. Our life, Lord, is like a vapor, but Lord, you are for eternity. And Lord, that we have an eternal mindset, that we would live with eternity in mind, that we would talk to people with their eternities in mind, that we would love on people with eternity in mind. God, I praise you and thank you for each person here and those watching online, Lord, that we would just continue to surrender our lives to you, that we would love one another just extravagantly, so that the world outside that does not just even comprehend the depths of the love that you have for them, that we will be able to show them what that looks like on a day-to-day basis. Father, I praise you for the faithful people of Woodland Church. I praise you for all that you've blessed us with. I praise you for the opportunity to partner with every single one of us to move your word, your ministry here forward. We just praise you. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to stay unified to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, as we move forward, I want you to know that our family is thrilled to be a part of what God is doing here, and we're thankful to be with you. And we are thankful to be with you. That's the best way I could say it. I did, before we go, I didn't plan anything specifically for today, but we have a holiday tomorrow, and we often take these moments, and you know, in Michigan, you know, Julianne's from New Jersey, so she doesn't get this too often, but in Michigan, this is the up north holiday. As everybody just bails 75 as a parking lot. And I think we take holidays like this often for granted. Memorial Day is a fun time. It is the start of summer. But that day, I would encourage each of us, tomorrow, I think it's 3 o'clock, I think it's 3 o'clock is when the national moment of silence is. Memorial Day was established to honor Civil War fallen heroes and ultimately extended to all fallen heroes in our armed services. There are families grieving, some recent, some for decades. When we celebrate Memorial Day, I would encourage each of us to take time tomorrow, especially just a few moments, pray for those who have lost, thank God for those who have served and have fallen, and just reflect on that. We are fortunate to live where we live, and I don't take that for granted. So I just want to encourage all of us that as we go through tomorrow, to just reflect on those who have lost and paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. So go and enjoy the rest of your day. I want to thank you again for allowing us to be with you today. Love you all.